you, Farad. Identical twins, Adam and Joshua, lived in England in the 1620s. No one in the village of Ipswich could tell them apart. Adam was found guilty of stealing a basket of bread from a nobleman's kitchen, and he was sentenced to die. Times were lean, and he could hardly bear the thought of leaving his wife and his small children alone. His wife's love for him was deep, and she suffered dreadfully, struggling to come to grips with the imminent catastrophe. She had no way to provide food for herself and the children. Losing her husband would inflict a terrible tragedy. Joshua, the unmarried twin, went in to visit his brother in his cell every day. Both he and his sister-in-law shed a lot of tears as the day of execution approached. One night, the innocent brother, Joshua, just couldn't sleep. For hours, he struggled in anguish for an answer to this seemingly insurmountable dilemma. What can be done? He repeated in despair. Finally, just before daybreak, he fell asleep, spent from mental exhaustion. But while he slept, Joshua dreamed that he was the guilty one, convicted to die on the gallows. The dream was so powerful, so real, that he could not escape its impact even after he woke up. Yet as frightening as the dream had been, he felt a strange sense of peace. Later that morning, when Joshua visited his brother again, he said to him, "I had a dream last night, Adam. I dreamed that I took your place and died on the gallows instead of you." The prisoner raised his head and stared at his brother in confusion. "I will come 2 days before the execution and change places with you," the innocent brother announced. "You cannot do that," Adam objected. "And why not?" Joshua replied. "Who will know the difference?" Adam looked grieved and said, "But you did no wrong. You are not guilty." But his brother was adamant. "Your wife and children need you, Adam. I have no family, just myself and them." The prisoner remained adamant that he couldn't let him do it, and he ended by saying that it simply wasn't fair or just. On the way out of the cell, Joshua stopped at the door. "I will die so that you can be free and truly live." Joshua left the door ajar. "I love you, Adam," he said, "more than you will ever know." As he turned and walked away, the condemned men buried his face in his hands and wept. His cries of anguish drowned out the sound of his brother's footsteps as they echoed back along the stone corridor. When the day arrived, the wife distracted the guards while the two men exchanged clothing. After a long and emotional embrace, the guilty one walked out of the prison, totally free, but at a tremendous price. Filled with the mixture of pain and troubled freedom, Adam went to witness the hanging as the next of kin. He watched his innocent brother being slowly led across the cobbled prison yard and up the makeshift stairs. Then he saw Joshua turn, look at him, and nod ever so slightly. The pain in Adam's heart became so excruciating that he had to bite his lip. He wept uncontrollably as the blindfold was placed over his brother's eyes and his hands tightly tied. Then the black-garbed hangman led him to stand on the trapdoor. Joshua's hour had come. The prison clock struck 7 times and then the trapdoor opened. With one convulsive jerk, Joshua was gone into God's eternity. Every day of the redeemed man's life, he remembered the one who had died for him, the one who had taken his place, and that thought transformed Adam's life. One day someone treated him miserably and he started feeling very sorry for himself. But then he remembered his brother's final words, "Live every day for me." And what a beautiful story of love and sacrifice that is. Joshua was willing to give up his life for his brother whom he loved. How much greater was the love shown and the sacrifice made by Jesus, Not only did he give his life for those whom he loved, but for those who despised and rejected him. He took our guilt, our sin, he bore our punishment, and willingly exchanged places at the cross. He paid the debt for the sins of the world so that all can be set free and truly live. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So we come to the communion this morning giving thanks for that freedom and the life offered to us through our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Could I have five people come up to the front, please? The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which for you is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And you may just like to take some time to bow your heads and reflect on that sacrifice and that love shown for you. And we'll just hold our cups and drink together. Let's just bow our heads and pray. We just thank you, Jesus, that gift of life, that freedom that we can have is from you, Lord. And we just give you thanks for that sacrifice. Amen. Let us drink.